What is it that you like about jewellery in particular?
I don't wear jewellery.
Yeah.
But I like shooting jewellery because it's very difficult.
Okay.
It's very complicated. It's probably the most complicated thing to photograph.
All right. That's interesting. So what is it?
I like challenge.
What's difficult about jewellery that is more difficult than other products?
Because jewellery, you can't stand it up. It will not. It's like, you know, like a shampoo bottle. You just put it and it will stand up, you know. You can't stand up a pair of earrings.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Then they are very reflective.
Oh, of
course.
So
you have to get rid of the reflections. They are shiny. You have to show the shine. If you get the lighting wrong, they will not look shiny. It's complicated. It's very time consuming, and I like that challenge, you know.
Okay. Hello, my name's Simon Tomlinson, and welcome to the fourth episode of Your Tagline Here. This is a weekly podcast sharing real stories from real people. Each week, I will interview a new guest to find out who they are and what their story is. And at the end of every episode, I'll be asking the guest to provide their tagline for the episode, to summarise their story into a short sentence that we can all remember it by. If you enjoy the episode, please do give us a like and hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of the future content. Also, if you have any questions for myself or today's guest, then you can leave them in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or you can send us an email to hello@yourtaglinehere.com. Our guest for this episode is Rudolf, who is a professional photographer and runs a successful photography business called MO Studios, which is based in the jewellery quarter of Birmingham, where he specialises in jewellery photography. Rudolf is here today to talk about how he became a professional photographer, how he set up his thriving business, and what his ambitions are for the future. But before we speak to Rudolf, I would just like to mention our sponsor, KitLab, which is a digital marketing company based in Birmingham in the UK. KitLab have over 15 years of experience specialising in branding, websites, search engine optimization, paid advertising, social media and more. So if you want to grow your business online, just head over to kitlab.com, which is kiklab.com. Okay, without further ado, let's meet Rudolf. Hello, Rudolf.
Welcome. Hi, Simon.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And yeah, I'm really pleased to have you here anyway, but I'm also pleased because you are the first guest to be in our studio.
Great. Great honour.
thanks for coming along. I'm really looking forward to hearing your story about how you became a professional photographer. So first of all, I'd like to just go back in time a little bit and understand, what is it that you were doing before you became a professional photographer?
Well, I've been into photography for a long time, since I was 12. Obviously, I haven't been a professional photographer since I was 12. I've been doing a lot of things. I've been into farming even, and busking and other things, you know. So only for the past around 12 years, I've been doing photography professionally.
So did you always know that you wanted to be a photographer?
I actually always wanted, I always knew that I want to be a videographer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because my, basically my father's friend, his best friend, he was a videographer, and he basically introduced me to videography. He always, when he came over to us, you know, to visit us, and when he stayed with us, he always had a camera with him, you know, and he was filming, and he had this old-fashioned cameras, old-fashioned projectors, you know, and he always showed us everything he's done before, or also the videos he took of us, you know, maybe when he visited us like a month or a year earlier, you know, and that was very exciting for me, you know. And that's probably where I fell in love with visual arts, you know.
Okay.
But it's somehow it turned into photography.
Okay.
Rather than videography.
So what was it that made that change from video to still photography?
It was actually my uncle. Okay. My uncle, he bought me a camera.
Can you remember what kind of camera it was?
It was a very old fashioned camera. Okay. That was again back in 80s,
a proper film camera.
It was a proper film camera, a Soviet camera, which was called Smena. Okay. It was very popular camera at the time in Soviet Union, and it's a film camera, 35 millimeter film camera. But it's more like a compact film camera. Mm-hmm. It has a lens, but which is not changeable lens, but still lens zoomable lens. So it is sort of a mix of a compact and an SLR camera. Yeah. So he bought me that camera, and yeah, it started from there, and I fell in love with photography, and I started to do it regularly. I was 12 at the time, and I started to invest my pocket money into equipment. Me and my brother, actually, we started to do film photography.
What sort of stuff would you take photos of when you were 12?
Everything. Portraits, landscapes, obviously not product photography, because e-commerce was non-existent back in in the 80s.
Well, apart from catalogues, I suppose.
Yes, true, yes. Well, the thing is that we started to invest basically our pocket money into our equipment.
Okay.
We started to buy darkroom equipment. We converted our cupboard in our house, a cupboard where our mother was storing the, like, I don't know, jars of the jam, you know. We just cleaned it out, you know, and set up a darkroom in the cupboard, you know. So I started to do proper, you know, everything from developing the film to prints, you know, to photos, you know. Mm. So I was really into it. And then, you know, I was a teenager, then I had different interests, then I lost the interest basically for photography. But I still liked it. I always had a camera, you know, but it from very like real passion, it turned into just normal hobby, you know. But when I finished my A levels, then I realized that actually I want to do it, you know, properly again, start to do it again, because it was like starting to do it. You know, not from scratch, because obviously I had that photography background, but there were, you know, a few years, you know, like a gap, you know, where I didn't do any photography. So and I decided to go and study photography. So I basically enrolled in a course, you know, at a college, a photography college, and I spent there. I actually dropped out because it wasn't what I was expecting, you know, because since I had that photography background already, I was able to do everything, developing the films.
So you knew everything already?
I knew everything.
Basically, didn't
and
you?
Basically, those few months I spent there, I didn't learn anything.
Okay.
I was just pretending to learn, you know. Because I knew already everything. When I went there, you know, I was hoping, you know, that there will be like courses on creativity, composition, and going out and trying things, you know, but it didn't happen. Maybe I dropped out too early, you know.
Okay.
But anyway, I was sort of a little bit bored, you know.
But it must be hard, like when you started photography at 12 and you've spent all that time practicing and experimenting and learning all of those things just naturally by trying different things, and like even creating your own darkroom, and then going to do a course where they're starting everything from the beginning. That must be very difficult for you.
It was difficult because I didn't need that, to be honest. Of course, I was able to repeat that, you know, because it's like practicing, you know. The more you practice, the better you become, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But again, I don't think that I needed the basics, you know, because it was all about the basics, you know. So that's why I actually dropped out, you know, because I didn't really, I felt like it's not, I'm going nowhere, you know, because it's not what I thought it would be.
So how did you go from that point of from dropping out of the photography course that you were doing to then going into doing it professionally? What was the, how did you make that transition?
I was at the college in mid-90s, yeah. Right? So digital photography was still pretty much non-existent. I mean, it was probably the top photographers, you know, advertising photographers were already using digital photography. But, you know, in normal people didn't know anything about digital photography. And then suddenly digital photography became more popular. It became like a mass product, you know. And it is very different, you know, digital photography and film photography. It's still photography, but it's different, mm-hmm. very different. And at the very beginning, I didn't like digital photography at all. And that okay. was one of the reasons I really stopped doing photography for a while. Right. I didn't do any photography because I was upset, seriously. I thought that digital photography is cheating. You know, okay. I was really like, no, I don't want to do that, you know.
Well, it's interesting because there is a big difference between analog photography and digital photography. And I do digital photography now, but I've never really done analog. But I can completely see where you're coming from, that it's still a big skill doing digital photography.
It
but
is.
There's a lot of things which are made a lot easier as a result of being able
it
to
is, it
capture
is,
things digitally.
It can seem a lot easier,
yeah.
you know. Maybe on one hand it is easier, but on the other hand it is another skill. It's a very different skill. So it's not really cheating as I thought, you know, initially. I thought that this is, you know, this is so easy. You know, you just need to press the button and everything is there. You don't need to do anything. Of course, you skip that darkroom bit, you know, because developing the film and prints, you know, in darkroom is more time consuming. But it doesn't necessarily mean that digital photography, since you skip that part, you know, is easier. There is still a lot of going on, you know, and again, it requires a lot of skills, you know,
yeah.
to do that, you know, Photoshop skills, you know, and everything, you know. So it is a very different form of photography, but still photography, yeah. you know.
I also think it's interesting how you've talked about how you've fallen in and out of love with photography yeah. over the years. So I presume after that period of thinking that it was cheating and falling out of love, that you then fell back in love again.
I fell back in love again. And then again, it just happened, you know. I can't say that I planned, you know, to go into photography, although I always had it, you know, at the back of my mind that I want to do photography because I bought a digital camera, compact okay. camera, you know, that was my really like my first digital camera. It was a compact camera. I just walked past a camera shop, you know, and I saw in the shop window that they had like nice offers, like 60% off, you know. I thought, oh, okay, let's give it a go. Digital photography, okay. Completely, you know, opposite to what I thought earlier, the digital photography. No, I will never go into digital photography, you know. But okay, let's give it a go. And I bought that camera, you know, a compact camera. And again, I started to enjoy it. I started to fall in love again with photography, yeah. although it was a very simple compact camera,
yeah.
you know. So yeah, and then it was then, I have to say that I'm self-taught photographer,
okay.
because when I started film photography, I learned it everything on my own, by myself, you know, books. Then when I got into digital photography, I had to start again from scratch, because obviously post-production is very different.
Yeah,
I didn't go to college, you know, to learn digital photography. I was, again, trying to find some videos on the internet. I'm not sure whether YouTube was already around, you know.
Yeah.
Now, these days, you can learn everything on YouTube, you know. Whereas back, you know, in that was like early 2000s, probably.
Yeah, so I think YouTube was maybe just about starting,
yes,
but it definitely
yes.
wasn't as prevalent as it is today.
But anyway, there was some information on the internet, you know, some videos, some similar, you know, websites, probably like YouTube, you know. So I was watching some videos, although it was a struggle, you know.
Mm.
Still books, probably. I think I had some books, you know. I was, you know, reading on Photoshop, like, you know,
yeah.
How to learn Photoshop. Yes, yes, definitely. I remember that I had a book, you know, which I found very confusing.
Well, I think with my development as well, I've started a lot later than you have. So it's only really been over the last 5 or 6 years. So all of my learning has been on YouTube, and I find it much easier to learn by being able to see someone demonstrate it and show it, rather than sometimes in books it can be confusing.
It can be confusing because it's sometimes really difficult to navigate, you know.
Yeah.
It's not that easy to find, you know, the thing you're after, you know, because it could be somewhere in the middle of another, you know, subject, you know, because so whereas on YouTube you just type in what you're looking for and it will come up straight away, you know, and you will watch that video, you know, on that particular thing, you know.
So how long was it from when you start to get into digital photography to when you started to get work at a like professional level? How long did that take?
A few years.
Okay.
Yes, I was just practicing for, not practicing, I didn't practice, I didn't, I mean, I was just doing photography, enjoying it, you know, shooting whatever I can, learning Photoshop, you know, Photoshop 2 maybe, very, you know, one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, you know, an opportunity came, you know, along. So I was working in a warehouse, actually, doing like normal warehouse jobs, you know, picking, packing, dispatching, and they were looking for a photographer, product photographer, and that's how I got into product photography. Before I was doing more portraits and, you know, like people photography. That was my thing, you know, because I think you know, before e-commerce, everyone was doing portraits and families, okay. You know, yeah. Because only there were very few photographers doing advertising, you know, because e-commerce didn't exist, so it was very difficult to get into advertising photography. Of course, it was very difficult to make it through, you know, because you had to be like in the right place, you know, and at the right time, and probably know the right people, you know. Otherwise, it was almost impossible. Mm. These days, it is a lot easier, you know. You can expose yourself a lot easier, you know, on social media or...
Yeah, there's a lot more platforms out there and avenues to be able to promote yourself now with social media, but 10 or 20 years ago, those things just didn't exist.
And I think that it's more open. I mean, how can I put it? I mean... I think 20 years, 30 years ago, advertising industry was a lot more closed, you know. There were a few, you know, big players, you know, and it was really difficult to get into which means that very often, you know, it was based on, like, recommendations, you know, and very important to know the right people, you know, whereas... Now you can really, you know, if you are good, you know, and if someone sees your work, you know, they will reach out, you know, and they will invite you, you know, they will speak to you, and that's very different, you know.
Yeah, yeah, so definitely. So what was this opportunity that you had in the warehouse?
Well, it's just they had an in-house photographer, you know, packshot photographer, and
can you just explain what packshots are?
Packshots are basically packaging shots.
Okay.
That's what it stands for. But it's a product shot, you know, e-commerce product shot.
Okay.
So basically a photograph of a product on a white background.
Okay. So was this your first experience of doing product photography?
That was my first experience doing of product photography. Okay. But before that, I was obviously doing people photography, portraits, and weddings and families, and I considered myself portrait photographer because I really liked it. I liked the portrait photography not as a service, offering the service to do someone's portraits and earning money, but you know, just like I basically thought that if I was a painter, I would probably paint portraits.
Okay.
You know, I liked the idea, you know, of capturing someone, you know, someone, because when you photograph someone, you know, you photograph a character as well, not just, you know, their face, you know.
Capturing and then you, their personality.
Exactly. And then you obviously put in your creativity, lighting, composition, and then it becomes like a piece of art, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, which is very different to, for instance, product photography, because basic product photography, like packaged photography, there is very little creativity involved, or almost zero creativity, you know, which is a very technical thing.
Yeah. So so after you got this opportunity to do these packaging shots, how did that then turn into the business that you have now?
Right. So basically, I was doing it for a while, doing packaged photography, warehousing, but they never really offered me the full-time photography role, okay. Right, which I was really hoping for that. I hoped that they would actually, you know, say, come on, you're good at this, you know, let's... Because they needed one full-time photographer, but I was contracted to do warehousing, you know, like packing, and I was probably good at that as well. That's probably one of the reasons they didn't want me to offer that role, because they were able to use me for both, you know, doing when needed, you know, warehousing or photography. And then at some point I just thought, you know, I didn't want to do warehousing. I don't want to be a warehouse guy, you know. I want to be a photographer, obviously. And I left, you know. I thought, for me it was easier. I thought it's the best option, you know, to leave.
Was that a difficult decision to make?
No, it wasn't a difficult decision, okay. Because I realized that finding a job is a full-time job as well.
Yeah.
Right? You can't really concentrate and focus on that if you have a full-time employment job, you know. It's just then you have just weekends, you know, and evenings, but most offices are closed, you know. It's sometimes very difficult to get a day off, you know, for an interview. And I thought, yeah, I'm leaving, you know. I still have the opportunity to earn some money, you know, by doing photography, you know. I could probably be able to pay my bills. And my point was, I leave, you know, and I do photography for myself. I do sort of into self-employment.
Yeah.
And looking for another job at the same time. If it doesn't work, whichever, you know, works best, I will be happy. If I can make it through, you know, if I can be a full-time photographer, you know, happy, very happy. If I find another job, also happy, you know. And then for a few months, I was doing like basically self-employed, but since I left my job, basically I didn't have any client base. I didn't have a client base, basically, not at all, you know. So it was difficult, obviously. So a few months, I was sort of, yeah, I was able to pay my bills. I had some photo shoots, you know, but then I thought, okay, I was looking for another photography job, you know, who could pay my bills, you know, and leave me maybe some disposable income as well. So, and I found another job in an auction house, you know, shooting jewelry. And that's how I got into jewelry photography. Okay. And that's how I fell in love with jewelry photography.
Nice.
Because before that, it was pack shots, products, like normal e-commerce products. And then suddenly, still pack shots, but jewelry pack shots.
Okay. So what is it that you like about jewelry in particular?
I don't wear jewelry.
Yeah.
But I like shooting jewelry because it's very difficult.
Okay.
It's very complicated. It's probably the most complicated thing to photograph.
All right. That's interesting. So what is it?
I like challenge.
What's difficult about jewelry that is more difficult than other products?
Because jewelry, you can't stand it up. It will not. It's like, you know, like a shampoo bottle. You just put it and it will stand up, you know. You can't stand up a pair of earrings.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
Then they are very reflective.
Oh, of
so
course.
You have to get rid of the reflections. They are shiny. You have to show the shine. If you get the lighting wrong, they will not look shiny. They will not look polished. So that's something you have to work on it, you know, to get the writing right so it looks shiny. It's not sort of, it's glossy, not matte, you know. It's very easy to make it look matte, you know.
Okay.
So it's complicated. It's very time consuming. And I like that challenge, you know.
Okay.
And another reason why I sort of switched from portrait, from people photography to product photography, because I'm an individualist. I like working on my own, okay. You know. I like going out and meeting people as well, you know. That's another reason why I still do wedding photography, not regularly. I mean regularly, but not full-time.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 weddings a year, you know, because I still enjoy it. I can go out, meet people, you know, have a laugh, you know. But then the rest of the time, you know, I will be in my studio on my own, which I enjoy a lot.
Yeah.
Because I can control everything.
Okay.
I can control lighting 100%. I can come in the middle of the night, you know, and which I can't do if I do wedding photography, you know.
Yeah. So, well, I imagine with weddings, so I have photographed a couple of weddings before. It's not my particular favourite kind of photography, but there's a lot of things which are out of your control because you can't control the weather. You can't often control the lighting conditions. You can't but often you can control where people are.
But you can control your artwork.
Yeah.
And that's the point, you know. That's, again, there is a challenge, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
To get it right, you know, using the equipment, using the light, what you have, basically without the option to control it, you know. And that's, again, that's a challenge and it's exciting as well. Mm. That's one of the reasons I like it, because I can basically get good results, you know, with using what I've given.
Yeah.
You know, not what I've chosen. And that's I enjoy it, you know.
So how long ago was it that you decided to leave that full-time job working in the auction house and then decided to set up your own business?
I spent about, I think I was there for about 3.5 years, roughly. And I was doing my full-time Monday to Friday job, plus doing photography in my spare time, Saturdays, Sundays, evenings. So okay. I was building up my customer base. And then at some point, I just realized that I have quite solid customer base, not big, but good enough, big enough. Plus, I've learned I learned some marketing tricks and techniques, you know. I was working on my website. I had already some traffic, you know, through my website. And I thought, yeah, it's the right time now to leave my job.
It's a really brave decision to leave your job and set up your own business. But it sounds like you were minimizing your risk because you already had that portfolio of clients that you could then utilize for your own business going forward.
Exactly.
What do you think, what was the main challenge for you about setting up your own business and doing this yourself?
It's yourself. I think yourself, you are a challenge.
Okay.
You know, when you're starting out. Then there are a lot more obstacles and challenges when you are already in there, when you already have a business, you know, and those are more difficult to sort of get over, you know, to resolve those problems. But when you are starting out, I think it's just you have to believe in yourself and you have to have that dream, you know, and that's it, you know. And then it will happen, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because if you do it the way I did it, you know, I was working, I was in full-time employment, and then I was doing, you know, photography in my spare time, you know, with that sort of aim, you know, that at some point I will go into self-employment. I was preparing myself, you know. So that, at that point, I don't think that there were challenges, you know. It's just the decision, you know. You have to make the decision to run that risk, you know, and to leave your full-time secure job, you know.
Yeah.
That's a that's like psychological, you know, sort of, you know, to be ready.
It's
a risk a little bit.
It's a brave thing to do, And it is, there's always going to be risk involved, but it sounds like you did it the right way because you were building up your portfolio of clients on the side so that when you made that step, yes. you already had people that you were
the
working
thing is
with.
I was going for it. Basically, most of my life I've been self-employed, you know, working for myself. And I realized that I understood that I will be working for myself when I was five.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically because my father influenced me, you know, because he wasn't a businessman. He was working he was a chef. He was working in a restaurant, you know. But the thing is, he wasn't just the head chef. He was also running the place. So he was, apart from cooking, which he did, but not a lot. He was more like into the managing the place, right? So he was dealing with the suppliers and everything, you know. He had his office, you know, and the place was very close to the school I went to, you know, and every day after the school, I went to my father's place, you know, where he worked, you know, and I spent a lot of time there, you know, in his office. And that's what I saw, you know. I thought that that's the way of doing it, you know,
yeah.
That you are the boss, you know, you have your office and you manage things, you know, you supervise everyone. And I've had it in my mind since, you know, since I was five, that I want my office, I want to run something, not necessarily the business maybe, you know, because if I was offered a really good, like very well paid job, like senior position, I would probably go for it, you know, because I like the idea of running something, you know.
Okay.
In this case, it's my own business. You know?
Yeah, so what is it that you like the most about running your own business?
Control, that you have the control, you know, of everything. It's not just about making decisions, you know. It's not that I enjoy telling people what to do. I just enjoy that freedom, you know, that option that I can, you know, decide, you know. Yeah, the decision maker.
I completely understand that. Like, you are in control of everything,
yes,
and you are
control.
Making the decisions. So being able to have control over things, I think, is a really valuable thing and something that can bring a lot of pleasure and a lot of reward as well for what you're doing.
Reward, yes,
because everything
exactly.
that you do, you're getting the reward, either financially or growing the business or whatever it is, rather than doing it for someone else, essentially.
Yes.
So what's your ambition for the future? Where would you like your business to go to?
I obviously have a plan, right? And I would like to set up a busy photography studio.
Yeah.
Since the market is huge. E-commerce is doing very well at the moment, you know, and majority of my clients are e-commerce businesses. And there is potential. So that's what I'm trying to achieve at the moment, you know, to set up, to build a studio, a big studio, busy studio. But again, it's not about, you know, employing people, you know, and telling people what to do. And just, you know, I'm not looking for that sort of like, you know, feeling that, you know, I watch other people working, you know. At the end of the day, the main aim is just to establish myself as a photographer, because if you're a photographer, it's your name, you know.
Okay.
It's name that counts, you know. You are known by your name. So it's actually about myself, you know, that I want to be a photographer, a good photographer. I want to improve myself.
Yeah.
I want to get better and better.
But I know that you already are a very, very good photographer.
Thank you. I'm all right photographer, I think.
Because
there is still room for improvement, you know.
Yeah, there's always room for improvement. I know from what I've seen you do that you are already a very good photographer. So you've already achieved what you're almost setting out. Are there any like particular brands that you would like to work with?
No.
Okay.
I just want to do what I like, you know.
Yeah.
I want to do photography, whether it's a small brand, a startup, or a big brand. Obviously, a big brand can sort of, you know, give your business a big, you know, a kick, you know. So if someone suddenly, a big brand approached me, you know, I would obviously say yes. I would start working with them. I would enjoy working with them because it's a lot. It's easy actually to work with big brands because there is a budget. You know, they have a budget. They provide everything. They provide styling. You know, everything. Whereas if you work for small brands, then you need to do almost everything. Yeah. You know, you need to be like 10 in one, you know. You have to be a stylist, you have to be a retoucher, you have to be an art director, you have to be everything, you know. And that's very challenging, that's very difficult, you know. But again, I like it, you know. I liked doing that as well. But then when you have work on a project, a big project for a big brand, you know, then you can just focus on photography, you know, because they will arrange everything for you, you know.
So if there's anyone listening or watching this who is an aspiring photographer who wants to make it as a professional photographer, whether that's product photography, whether it's jewellery photography, whether it's portraits, landscapes, whatever it might be, what advice would you give to someone who's thinking or wanting to become a professional with a camera in their hand?
You have to work. If you dream of it, you know, then go for it. You have to set your mind, you know, and go for it, you know, because it won't happen just like this, you know. You have to focus, you know. Otherwise, yeah, it's and take the risk, you know. Leave your job, you know, even if you don't have another job yet, you know. Even if you want to change your career, you know, if you are doing a job you don't like, you know. If you want to find a better job, leave that job you have now, and then you will find another job. The opportunity will come, you know. You will have more time to focus on what you like, you know. So that's what I did, you know. It is like a vicious circle, you know. If you're doing something you hate, you know, you don't enjoy, because as I said earlier, you know, you don't have a lot of time, you know, to look for something better, you know, because you're Monday to Friday, then you come home tired, you know, you want to rest, you know, you have weekends, but you sometimes, you know, it's again, you might be so tired that you don't want to do any like search for another job, you know. But there are always opportunities, you know, and if you look for it, you will find it, you know. So leave everything behind, you know, just go for it, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I think your story is really inspiring, and it's inspiring to me because I am on the journey myself to become, well, I already am a professional photographer and video producer, but I'm not at the same place as you are. I'm definitely further behind on the journey. So listening to your story and hearing about where you've got to now is inspiring for me, and I'm sure that there's a lot of other people that find it inspiring as well. And I think the things that you've illustrated in your story, that you keep on going and you keep on practicing,
exactly.
and opportunities will present themselves.
Definitely.
If you keep on looking for them, and you keep on practicing the skill of whatever it is that you're doing.
Exactly, because if you don't focus, you know, then you might miss that opportunity. You know, you won't even notice that there is that opportunity. You know, whereas if you really go for it, you know. There are tons of opportunities around, you know. You can create those opportunities at the end of the day, you know. It's you, you know. You just need to spot it, you know, the spot that you know, and be there, you know. So, yes, go for it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rudolf. And the final question is, what is your tagline for this episode?
My tagline for this episode is... I might not be there yet, but I'm definitely closer than I was yesterday, you know. So
nice.
Focus. And he will get there.
Yeah, I really like that because it shows that if we keep focusing on what it is that we want to do, we don't have to do everything immediately, but it's about taking those small little steps.
Exactly.
Every single day, we just have to take one little tiny step closer
step
to
by
where
step,
we are.
Exactly, and it's never-ending process, you know. You will get there eventually if you try, you know. But if you don't try, you know, if you don't buy a lottery ticket, you will never win, you know.
Yeah, and I think also, like, even when you have made it, like when you do have your own business and you are successful like you are, then you still have ambitions of where you want to go in the future. And you still, like, every day you're learning something new and you're progressing and you're learning and you're developing. So even when you have become successful, there's still room for growth and improvement.
There is, yes, of course, yeah. True. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was fascinating listening to your story. And like I said, for me, I find it personally inspiring because I'm on that journey myself to be and to get better at being a professional photographer and video producer. And I'm sure that there's lots of other people who want to be a photographer that are watching and listening. And for other people that just want to do something else, whatever it is, then your story is inspiring for them as well too.
It kind of you can apply it to, you know, to not only photographers, to whatever you do, you know. If you want to be a rally driver, you know.
Absolutely.
You need to get into the car, you know.
Absolutely.
Yes, of course.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Rudolf.
My pleasure.
Okay, that brings us to the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy this episode, then please do give us a like and hit the subscribe button as well to make sure that you don't miss out on future content. Next week, we'll be interviewing another guest to find out what their story is. So please do tune in and I will see you then.